Yoin.
And a podcast.
You know, in America, we call them potato chips. And in England, you call them crisps. This is Miracle Day. It's season four of Miracle Day. Season four, Torch of Miracle Day. Episodes 3 and 4, Dead of Night and Escape to LA, not from LA. Who are you? What are you?
I will tell you who I am. I will tell you who I am right now. In this next moment, I will tell you who I am. I'm about to tell you who I am, and I sure hope no one shoots me as I prepare to tell you who I am.
No.
My name is... Bang. Damn it, not again.
Oh, that we'll get to that scene. That whole character is yeah.
Then tell me!
Perhaps the funniest thing C. Thomas Howell will ever do in his life. Perhaps the one thing he'd want to be remembered for beyond the other thing he's done. Also, if you want to see a really great example of Wikipedia photos, look at C. Thomas Howell's, because it looks like a man just been startled by a... He looks like he was getting something out of the fridge, and like one of his kids' friends came up and said, "Hey, Mr. Howell," and he got shocked or something, because it's like the look of a man who just doesn't know what's going on.
It sounds like he's the live action remake of the "huh" sound effect, the one you hear online. "Huh," that's the face he's doing right now in his Wikipedia photo.
Star of the Amazing Spider-Man, of course, and also Reagan. He's in Reagan, apparently.
Well, he's in the episode 4 of Torchwood Miracle Day.
As the gentleman. He's called the gentleman in the credits.
Yes. Yes. And he tells us to tell him. To tell me. Sorry, I'm obsessed with the way he says, tell me! Because it was a shining light in the middle of a considerably boring episode section of the episode.
Well, let's get okay. So Dead of Night broadcasts on the 22nd of July in the US and the 28th of July in the UK. It's directed by Billy Gearhart again, who did like the last one, and written by Jaina Svensson, who did like, you know, Buffy, The OC, Gilmore Girls. She's like ostensibly she is like the co-showrunner for the season as well. Escape to LA was broadcast on the 29th of July in the US and the 4th of August 2011 in the UK. Directed by Billy Gearhart again. Billy Gearhart's just like pumping these out, and written by Jim Danger Gray.
That's a great name.
He worked on Pushing Daisies, Hannibal, Orange is the New Black, so he's kind of thing, and John Chabon, of course. Of the X-Files fame, Breaking Bad fame, directed a few episodes of Better Call Saul fame. okay, we'll rush through what happens in these two, and then we can get on to some stuff.
I kind of want to see you boil this down. I want to see how you do it. Okay.
So the torture is still on the run, but they discover a pharmaceutical company called Ficor, which, you know, well done, guys. You're naming things very well today. They find out they've stockpiled on medication, which indicates they knew the miracle was going to happen. They're on a prophet. Just as a senator goes on TV and is like, all painkiller medication will be made available without the need of a prescription from pharmacies. This movement called the Soulless, who wear like marshmallow masks, like the DJ marshmallow masks. Oswald Danes goes on the news. After Jack's like, can you please go on the news and expose FICOR? Oswald's like, no, I'm gonna go on the news and be like, FICOR, great. Now, just after all this happens,
I never said free drugs. I said
free comma
drugs.
After all this happens, Esther goes to see her sister, and her sister is kind of crazy. So Esther calls CPS. Unaware she's been tracked by a hitman, who we'll get to. And while this happens, Academy Award nominee Mayor Willingham leads a campaign to recognize those affected by the miracle as legally and wholly dead rather than, living dead or whatever. And as a result, Oswald's kind of pushed off TV by her campaign, which leads him to stage a PR stunt where he goes into like a hospital and he's like, I'm one of you, and I'm going to help you guys out because I got to help you guys out because it's just the way it's got to be.
And then they're like, and this photo of a convicted pedophile holding a baby has gone viral.
And he's now our savior, maybe.
People love him.
While this happens, the triangle phone people put poison into Mayor Winningham's coffee, and she wakes up at the end in a car that they crush, and she's still alive in the car, even though it's a cube. And torture try and break in a FICOR. And it goes kind of belly up briefly when the hitman that Esther has been tracked by shows up and basically speaks some riddles for some
reason. Literally, I will tell you now what the plot of the TV show Miracle Day is, but first,
let me tell you.
You are so weird.
But what happens then is like, Rex runs up a little stairs, which he shouldn't be doing because he's obviously got, stitches in him, and he shoots him in the throat just before he's about to reveal everything. But they do find out that FICOR are building overflow camps for patients who are, at a stage of death where they're not going to wake up, but they're still alive, and that Gwen's dad is on his way to one of them in the UK. Okay.
So. <Yeah. laughs> Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
This is so strange. This is so strange.
What makes you say that?
There's so many. Like, the alien opera thing we were joking about, it really comes to the fore here. There's the way they deliver the new shows is so strange, where they're like, the whole thing was like, maybe Oswald Danes is our savior now. Maybe he is going to help us. In other news.
Which, by the way, I'm honestly like, are they avoiding talking about the government? Because it's getting to the point where it's like every episode they're like, the White House is silent. And I'm like, okay, what is the government doing though? Like, because like the government would do something.
They needed to like hire or cast a president actor and have them just be a part of the whole thing.
That's what it feels like. It feels like they were like, we don't want to like put any like fake president in this, so that people don't like associate it with one figure or another. To which I say, I don't know, like, you then made a bunch of very obvious XP characters, X-Spy characters, You got the politician who might as well, and you got the politician who might as well be like, hello, I'm racist. And you got Jillian Christopher who's like, hello, I'm the devil. And I already said that, but yes, I can't get over just how much of this character just here going, hello, I'm the devil. Would you sell your soul to me, the devil? No? Oh, well, I'll come back because, as you remember, I am, of course, the devil. And that's all she does. Like, she's a befuddling character for me.
Mm-hmm. You also have the very heavily ADR'd person who goes up to Rex, goes like, hey, man, believe.
Hey, man, believe.
And then walks away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the fastest movie social movement in America.
Hmm.
They've been there. There's already a slogan, and they're already like, and there's so much of this where I'm like, they're kind of hinting that all of this seemingly organic stuff is actually being manipulated behind the scenes. And I'm like, okay, that's clever, I guess. I'm just kind of waiting for them to be like, this is what the plan is, you know? Because what is the plan? I'm trying to figure out what the PyCorp plan is.
It's there's like in the midst of all that, you have one of the strangest scenes where they do a whole comedy routine about, like, in England you call them lifts, and here we call them elevators. And then why are you dedicating 10 minutes to doing like white guys try it like this?
It's true, we do. But also, I feel like Gwen would be like, I know, you know, like, I'm with Torchwood, you know, I know. Like, also, this is not a problem. I don't understand why this is a problem for her, because she clearly, it's not like she came in and she said, guys, where is the petrol station and where is the cash point thing? And then they go, oh, Gwen, actually here, cash point is ATM. She literally comes in saying, I already did all these things. So I'm like, then what's the problem? What's the problem here? You clearly you're fine. Also, Rex continuously, I'm genuinely, Rex makes no fucking sense to me. Because there's moments where Rex is like, man, we have to do this for the country, and we got to do this for the people, and we got to do this for the state. And there's moments where Rex is like, fuck you, you showed emotion? Fuck you, I'm going to fucking point a gun at you and tell you to fucking eat a dick. What is going on with this guy? I mean, I get it, he has a hole in his heart, but I'm also like, Jesus.
The one that doesn't make sense to me is Esther, because Esther seems to go from being incredibly dumb.
Yeah.
To like being smart to being incredibly stupid again, and it's like, what is going on with this character? Like, what is her whole, like? What is the whole approach? Because like, it feels like they turn on a dime in terms of like who they are to like fit the scene, and like,
right.
There's I don't know, man. The thing with Rex as well is that the whole like Vera and Rex like shipping kind of dynamic feels incredibly kind of forced as well. Like, they just kind of hook up straight away. There's no real kind of connection to them.
They needed something for the straights.
They need, well, let's see Thomas Howell. I mean, come on. No, but like, I don't know. There's so much strange stuff. Episode 3 is the one that I think is a strange, because like, you have that scene where those two people chase Oswald out of a diner and like chase him down the street.
Yes.
And like, they feel so strange as well, just in terms of how those actors deliver their lines. And Bill
Clinton's let's talk about Oswald. So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like RTD, if anyone ever complains to him about the Oswald plotline, he'd be like, well, but I was right. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing though. Yes, this is a plot where he was proven right by time, but like, no one who is like a negative like figure who still became popular despite doing negative things, none of them were convicted pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing I think this doesn't get. The closest we have gotten is they sort of had associations to convicted pedophiles. But even then, like, none of them were actual convicted pedophiles who gloated about it on the stand and who are known for gloating. It's like, I guess the comparison is like, if this was, who's the guy who, like, they did a show about him, Evan Peters played him. Jeffrey Dahmer. It'd be like Jeffrey Dahmer, right? Like, if this was Jeffrey Dahmer and he was running in and somebody was like, do you know what that is? That's Jeffrey Dahmer. People would not be like, but Jeffrey Dahmer went for this great experience and we should listen to him. They'd be like, oh my God, you are Jeffrey Dahmer. Get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
The most realistic thing and the least realistic thing is that the cops beat him up. Mm-hmm. It's least realistic. It's most realistic that they beat him up. It's realistic that they beat him up. It's not realistic that they stopped at not killing him. And I get that, like, they can, you know, they can, like, nobody can die in this world. And I will tell you, that would not stop them. Dude. So that's the, like, somehow realistic and not realistic part of the Oswald plot line.
Mm-hmm. He's just, like, I don't, his character is just something that I don't know. The whole thing with Mayor William as well is that when they mentioned the Tea Party, I was like, oh, that takes me back to 2012 so much. The whole thing with, like, her and Oswald, I feel like today they will both be, like, they will be on the same ticket, essentially, today, rather than it being like, you know, we're gonna drop Oswald for this lady who's saying that, you know, dead is dead. It would be more like, dead is dead, but I'll make an exception for my buddy Oswald. Come here, Oswald, go hang out for a while. Mayor William, how's it going? But I don't know, like, going back to Esther, like, the thing with her sister, where her sister is, like, you know, they don't exactly, like, confirm what is up with her sister beyond her sister is a little kind of, you know, her sister, there's something wrong with her sister. She's got, like, you know, some kind of mental illness that is affecting the kids. But I really don't understand, like, if you're calling CPS, then you surely would expect for the kids to be taken away.
Yes, yes, yes.
And her being like, wash? It's like, what
were you expecting? I do not understand that. Yeah, it is the most, like, I didn't expect the leopards would eat my face thing. Like, what do you talk? Even then, I'm like, there's something about Esther where on episode 3, they have her be like, oh, I was putting my sister's phone number in the phone. And he's like, what are you talking about? You shouldn't do that. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm an analyst. And I'm like, okay. Like, they're setting up that she's new. And then they call her out on it. And she's like, okay, I'm going to figure out how to do this better. Blah, 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 blah. But then to have her, like, continuously make these mistakes, I'm like, are you 12 years old? Like, what is going on with this character? She doesn't know. From a scene to scene, what she knows changes on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
It's really annoying.
It is. It's just strange. I mean, there are Stranger Things happening
on Netflix.
On Netflix, yeah, series, whatever, is that soon? But we will get to them in a second because we do have something to talk about than we were talking about before. But, like, it is just that kind of thing of, like, the bits without Torchwood are way more interesting to me than the bits with Torchwood, and it's like,
yes,
kind of, you know, get past that. When I mean, like, the stuff with, like, Jack and Oswald, I think is interesting, the way Jack's like, you know, I'm gonna come to you and just kind of, you know, make sure, like, see if you will help us out. Yeah. And then I will basically
stupidly tell him that I am recording. Like, how you've never seen a movie, what you do is you not tell them. Well, clearly what you do is you wait to tell them until they finish their confession, and then you tell them.
And then,
as opposed to what any other person would do, which is not tell them until they're gone. Jesus Christ.
We do get the funny reveal when both ones like, boys, and then the two big goons come in. They
it's like, boys, yeah. Like, did you wait? I'm kind of like, wait, you walked in here through that door, so did you not expect? Yeah, like, did you not see? Oh, security! I didn't see this coming. What?
Huh? Oh man, it's yeah. I also like that we get Wayne Knight in his robe. He's just kind of hanging out at home. He's trying to relax, you know, and expect to be kind of ambushed.
Does he come back?
He might come back. You never know.
Yay!
The angle on Oswald on the news, where, like, it's really, really zoomed in, is, it feels like film student kind of stuff. It feels very kind of, that's nitpicking, I know, but still. Yeah, I don't know.
Nitpick away. Listen, what else are we here to do if not to nitpick?
Let's talk. Okay, let's not nitpick, but let's talk about, actually, there's one thing that's kind of nitpick. So Russell spends, at this point, it would have been 5 years, because he's obviously left, setting up that one of the most famous news anchors in the world is Trinity Wells.
Oh, yes.
And yet she
Where is Trinity Wells?
Where'd she go? What happened to her?
That's a good point. That is a good, very good point. Where is Trinity Wells? Because like, they do have a fake Trinity Wells.
Mm-hmm. Like,
stars could not afford Trinity Wells.
Do they? They use her in Sarah Jane Adventures at one point, don't they? They have like her just pop up or something. Why can't she just?
No, but stars couldn't afford them. Oh. Too expensive.
But stars could afford to see Thomas Howell.
Yeah,
Christopher Thomas Howell. Huh? He's trailing Hester on behalf of.
His job is to kill Jack. Mm-hmm. He has multiple opportunities to do so.
But he doesn't want to, though.
But he doesn't want to. He waits until they're inside this location, which he pulls a guy's eye out to get access to. Let me just ask a question. So the guys who hired this killer are also the people running FICOR because they're the Triangle people. So why did they... If they're running this company, why were they like, hey, can you kill our security guy and get his eye? Why would they not just let him in? You know?
They got sick of him.
That was such a weird bit. I was like, why is he doing it? Why was he just not waiting for them inside, you know?
They got sick of him because he was going like, forsooth, the Ides of March shall change when I find out the information known to me by generations. Because he doesn't want to kill Jack because he's like... You're interesting to me. I find you interesting. I won't kill you, but I will Moloch.
Even that, it feels like they were like, even that they were, that whole bit where, he's like, oh, I'm a killer, and now that no one can die, my job sucks. But you can die, Jack. And then Gwen's like, well, but then you can't kill him because then he dies. And then he's like, oh, good point. Anyway, and then just keep talking. It's like, yeah, we kind of talked ourselves into a corner here. And I'm like, well, why don't you just have him be like, and now I'm the only one who's going to get killed anyone for the rest. I'm the last murderer in history or some shit like that, you know? Like, fucking do some shit like that and have him try to kill Jack, as opposed to, good point. Let me delay even more my information I'm going to give to you.
It's just so weird. And like, it's funny enough, but like the scenes of Rex running up the stairs that they keep cutting to, where it's just the same shot of him running up the stairs, more or less, is kind of, it undercuts in the way that makes it funnier, just by having like this constantly like, oh, this guy's running upstairs. His characters are so strange because, like, they almost botch this break-in, but, like, they don't... there's never really any sense of, like, they're going to get caught by anything other than, like, you know, the one security guard they kind of fool and, like, the receptionist and stuff. Yeah. He's a funny little guy, and obviously he gets shot in the throat. By Rex, and then Gwen
doesn't die.
He doesn't die, but
they never address it. And they, oh my god, they don't address it. Yeah, he's just like, and I'm like, what happens to him? What did he do to him? What's gonna happen?
Could they not like get a laptop next to him and just get him to type out like whatever?
Exactly. Write in blood, and he starts writing. I will tell you. No. God damn it.
I don't know. The other thing, there's other stuff like, because these two episodes are like just basically like, they're not, I wouldn't call them filler because I hate that term, but they're like transition episodes. They're like setting things up, kind of answering some questions, but they're not like, you know, they're not the ones that you'd be like, oh, you gotta see this episode of Miracle Day, or, right, you know, this episode was great. It's just like, okay, we're moving things around now. There's some stuff like, when I'm like,
you could conceivably skip this up. I mean, I'm thinking about anything they introduce new.
The overflow camp thing at the end.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me just mention really quick. Overflow camp. Just got to mention this. Why would you use the word camp? Mm-hmm. You don't call it camps. Everybody knows that. That's why there's a reason you don't call in camps, because the last time a guy called in camps, it was not good. So they're really not even trying to like hide.
They're evil. There's a bit in episode 4 where Oswald goes into the hospital and he takes off his mask, and the way it's edited, like, it's edited as though the people outside can hear what he's saying, like, directly to them, even though he's in a building that's like yards away, like inside glass.
Oh yeah, and he closed the door. He specifically made a point of closing the door so that Emily, whatever, couldn't go in.
Mm-hmm. But it's a strange moment. It's just strange. It's just like one other strange thing is that they're talking about like Jack and Gwen had a really nice moment where like they're talking about like, you know, death and how it would have been great to have this like before. But they only mention Yanto as like one of the dead people. I'm like, could you not mention like Owen or Tosh or, you know, any of the other guys that you like lost or whatever? It's just Yanto, which I get, because, you know, at this point it's 7 years
away. It's the latest one. Yes.
It's like 7 or 8 years away. It's been a long time since Owen died again. You know.
I mean, last time, but yeah, it's been so long that I can see them being like, we can't even mention these characters because people are going to be like, who are these people?
Who's Billis Manger?
Genuinely, like, who are them? Who's Billis? They should have been talking. There's a man, beautiful man, Billis Manger.
Billis should have shown up and been like,
I missed that man.
Are you Oswald? Yeah. And he should have killed him. Like, there you go. And then disappeared again.
It's the 14th or the 15th Doctor. Oswald Danes died. I missed that man.
But yeah, it's a lot of strange stuff. You get that one clip of Mayor Williams' character saying it's political correctness gone wrong. Which is talking about people who are still alive. And I'm like, that's pretty much like... Her character, from a modern day standpoint, I think there's bits of her that will definitely like be kind of on the money in terms of what that person would be like today. But I think it would be a much more kind of mainstream conservative position today to be like, no, they're dead. They're not alive still. They're dead. We should treat them like they're dead.
Yes,
rather than being like the Tea Party's like position is they're dead. Like, you'd have, like, all the major politicians on TV being like, no, they're dead. We're not going to, like, you know, they're not getting paid with their jobs. They're not getting housing. They're dead. They don't count.
Yes.
Whereas you have this one politician saying, and then, like, 2 minutes later, she's off the TV again because a convicted pedophile went to a hospital and talked to some old people and said, I understand where you've been, but I'm better
now. I cannot get over the whole... I hate that we keep bringing it up, and I feel bad for it, and I apologize if anyone is triggered by this particular content, but it really does feel like the show wanted to start with the hugest bang possibly. Oh my God, you know what this feels like? It feels like the sex alien all over again, where it's like, what is the most out there, big, insane thing that we can do? That is going to be like, this is why we're different from Doctor Who. And then they're like, well, because so much of the plot with Oswald Danes is you're just really watching him. They sort of make it a little bit about him also trying to find out who's behind FICOR. But the entirety of every time he's on the camera, the plot is, what's Oswald Danes going to do next? And it's not impossible for you to get me to care for a hugely unsympathetic character. You know, House of Cards is an example. Where there's another awful person, but if you go watch that show before the revelations came in, you could watch the show and be like, "Hey, I enjoy watching it, even though the guy is complete asshole. It's an awful person. But I feel like even then they would be like, we're not going to make him a convicted pedophile. You know, I feel like that's they keep skirting the line. And they keep avoiding mentioning it. And I'm like, that's not just something you can. But they also keep bringing it up whenever it's convenient for them. It's like, no, like this guy would not be doing this. I kind of want them to like address just how serious what this guy did is, as opposed to just using it as like their get out of jail free card. Literally,
it's insane. Get out of jail free card. They would not let him into a hospital with kids in there.
They would not let him into a hospital with kids.
Yeah, and there are kids in there, and he just walks in, and they're like, "Yeah, he's just in there now."
They would not let him out. They would not let him out. There would have been like within a day, there would have been like an executive order or a judge would have been like, nope, that's actually not a thing. And your interpretation is fucking stupid. Like, because the danger this guy would put. Also, I feel like we keep mentioning the whole pedophile part. He's also a convicted murderer. So it's like that's two crimes. This guy is just. And the precedent that it would set if you let this guy out is just completely like you are absolutely like opening the door for complete madness. And again, I know that the answer to this is don't be stupid. This is a TV show. This is not real life. And I agree. In any other situation, I would be saying that. But the best parts of this show are the parts when they're like, what if this happened in real life? You know, like, what if this actually did happen? What would be the consequences and how would the people and our society address it? And I'm like, yeah, okay, let's talk about that. But also, let's talk about the fact that he's a convicted pedophile.
Thing as well is that, like, I understand what the whole like loophole thing he's trying to do is, where he's like, you know, I died, so I served my execution life sentence, so I should be freed. But a guy in real life where he died and came back to life, and he was like, that should be my life sentence served, and they were like, no. So like, why isn't he in jail? Why don't just keep him in jail? Like, you know, strictly speaking, you didn't die. You died, like, there's no more death, so therefore you did your execution, so you should still be on death row. You know? You should still be, like...
Yeah. It's a very easy argument to make. Your sentence ends with death, and you are not dead, therefore go back in. Your sentence isn't over. But I feel like the reason we keep getting lost in these arguments and keep having these conversations about, like, oh, what if this? What if that? What if X and Y? Is because the actual Torchwood plot is just so unengaging. Mm-hmm. The high sequence in episode 4, I genuinely was tuned out until C. Thomas Howell came in and started going, and tell me. I just genuinely was like out of it. Like, I don't care what's going on here. And the problem is that I know we have fucking 6 more episodes of this guy, and I'm like, you know, we're crossing the halfway mark. And I can see where they're going with him, and I don't like it. I'm gonna watch it because I'm gonna give him the. I don't think it has reached a point where I can be like, this is bad. Mm-hmm. It's not there yet. It's simply not there yet.
It's just not. It might get there. It's not that engaging. It's not like bad. It's just like. It's the kind of thing.
I feel like it would need to be like. Because at the end of the day, Eve Miles is still a very charismatic and engaging performer. Again, you've seen the whole thing. This is you actually rewatched the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen this yet, but the one thing that I'm coming out of this is like, I'm kind of interested in listening to the Torchwood audios. Because this is just kind of making me feel like every time it's just John Barrowman and Eve Miles on screen, you're like, all right, that's why this show lasted 4 series despite starting off with the alien sex gas. It's because these two guys are like so fucking cool together. And they have like a vibe that works really, really well. And they have these very charismatic lead performers, 2 of them, which is a rarity, as we can both attest. So, yeah, I'm coming out of this thinking I kind of want to listen to the audios after this because it's going to be more of what I do like these two guys and less of what I dislike everything else.
Especially because they can't get any of the Starz characters because Starz owns the rights, I believe, still to any of the characters.
Is there any interest from them to do it? I feel like Nick Briggs got a note being like, hey, there's a new Torchwood team and it's these two guys from America. And he was like, I will not make audios of this.
I feel like if you gave Nick Briggs the permission to get like Mekhi Phifer or like get like any of those guys in, he'd be like, yeah, go on. Cause like they got Eric Roberts in. They're not going to be like, you know.
Eric Roberts was the master, though. And he's Eric Roberts.
Yeah, well, Mekhi Phifer was Rex Madison and C. Thomas Howell was the gentleman, you know, so. Okay, the gentleman should show up just out of nowhere with a guy back. It's me, the gentleman. How's it going?
Actually, it's a funny idea. The face that C. Thomas Hall is making in the Wikipedia image is when people are asking him about the gentleman. It's like, I found, no.
It reminds me
of that incredible, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt bit where Robert Osborne is like, and now the same movie we just watched. No, you promised. You never would have gonna mention it again.
Torchwood. Yeah, I don't know.
Not to date this episode, but the Sims 2 Legacy Collection just came out.
Mm-hmm.
Does not work on the deck. Disappointed.
They really are. I don't know. Like, I played the Sims 4 on deck, and the amount of rejiggering I had to do to like get a workable virtual mouse on the deck was not good. I had to like basically turn all the back buttons into like, you know, one button scrolls up, one button scrolls down, one button is left click, one button is right click. I imagine it'd be the same for kind of the first Sims. Like the Sims 1 Legacy does work because I checked earlier on. But it's, you know what? Someone should make a Sims where it's the gentleman.
Listen, they literally, this is, sorry for the segment from Gamer Era, but you guys have like 36 minutes of Torchwood, you're satisfied. Mm-hmm. But they tried. Remember what was that one that Paradox was going to do and then they canceled it? I feel like everyone realizes, mm-hmm. everyone is like, we're going to do a Sims competitor. And they're like, oh, this is too much work.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like,
and the only reason the Sims gets away with it is because they've been around for 25 years.
Mm-hmm. And also because the Sims 4 is free to play. So it's like, you know, I'm not going to pay more money to play something when I can just play this for free. And, you know, I have all my stuff on here anyway, so.
But I'm honestly shocked they are talking about making another Sims. Because, like, I thought they were just going to coast on Sims 4 for the rest. Like, why would they not do that?
They really should, unless there's, like, some, if there's, like, some, like, technological breakthrough in the next, like, 5 or 10 years where it makes sense, then do it. But, like, otherwise, you know, there's no point. Just like there's no point in letting the gentleman talk because he's just going to keep talking until some guy shoots him in the throat. You just know that like an amateur dramatics company hated to see the gentleman coming because they would have been like, you know, oh, this guy, Barry, the TV show Barry was actually based on the gentleman because he wanted to, you know, perform as is his wont. And they were like, no, you can't, you know, you're the gentleman, you're the hitman. He's like, why can't I again? And the gentleman isn't hearing them, so he says, tell me! And they explain to him again. He says, okay, and he leaves. I saw that happen with my own eyes during Miracle Day. Then tell me!
We gotta play that. We have the audio.
We have the audio.
Tell me!
Then tell me!
Such a good audio.
It is. C. Thomas Howell. Run, Thomas Howell. Run, C. Thomas Howell. Run. But yeah, until the next Day of Miracles, which has the next two episodes, having seen them, has one of the, if you thought Gentleman and Oswald were strange, wait till you get a load of this guy. And also it has one of the biggest guest roles to date, which is exciting as well. But yeah, tell me, I don't know.
Tell me.
C. Thomas Howell does music, so this is C. Thomas Howell's song called something.
Yes, R.I.P. the gentleman.
Yeah, forever in our hearts. Fly high, my friend, fly high. Goodbye.
That she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her hair. She acts like summer and walks like rain. Reminds me that there's time to change it. Turn of a stay on the moon. She listens like spring and she talks like June. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. But tell me, did you sail across the sun? Did you make it to the Milky Way to see the lights all faded? Shooting star, one without